It's time for the November edition of Mondays with Mike. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, November 5th. And as he does once every month, my boss, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike Crane, is here with some news you can use about this service. And he's here to respond to whatever is on your mind about Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or some feedback for Mike, you can also email it to talk@wpr.org. You can post it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. It's the day before Election Day. Our reporters are going to be covering President Obama's speech this morning in Madison, Vice Presidential candidate Paul Ryan's rally and in Milwaukee tonight. We just spoke with many of our reporters around the state of Wisconsin, a lot of congressional races, the U.S. Senate race, state legislative races. Mm-hmm. Busy, busy, busy time. We're going to have big plans tomorrow night.
Yeah, and just by the way, I really appreciated the wake-up call information that we had earlier today, that we call it early voting for short, but that it's actually absentee voting in person. And
right.
I hadn't thought of that, and that was interesting information and kind of explain the process, and I enjoyed that.
Right. I didn't know that either, that there's a distinction between early voting and in-person absentee voting, which is what Wisconsin has.
Yeah.
The main distinction, for those who didn't hear that, is that the ballots that we cast early in Wisconsin are counted on election day. They're fed into the machines on election day.
Yeah, and that explains something, because it turned out we had to early vote because my wife was leaving town, and so we went and did that. And I was curious because we put the ballots into an envelope, and the envelope was witnessed. And now I understand what the story is. So, but your point about that is the election is tomorrow, the final part of it, and so we'll be watching the polls with everybody, but doing radio shows about it. And so starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening on both of our networks, we'll have the NPR coverage. And then pretty much as soon as the polls close here, we'll have WPR also going in and out of the NPR coverage to make sure you know about our Senate race and our House and Assembly and Senate races in state and all the other interesting news that you can expect. And we'll stay with it as long as we need to in the evening, and then wrap up on Wednesday morning.
That's right. We will follow up. We have all sorts of guests already lined up. Some of our regular political analysts and commentators will be here on Wednesday morning, starting bright and early at 6 o'clock in the morning until 9, and I'm sure Kathleen and Ben as well will be covering the election results on Wednesday. But election night coverage starts at 7 with NPR, at 8 with Wisconsin Public Radio coverage. Wisconsin Public Radio Sean Johnson and Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg will be co-hosting our coverage starting at 8.
And I want to mention, too, this is something a lot of people have found useful. Take a look at wisconsinvote.org. That's our website with Wisconsin Public Television that has nonpartisan information and links to all of the government websites you might need for things like finding out where you should vote or finding out who the candidates are in your district. You can find the links to all of that, as well as to all of our coverage and documentation, like the archives of shows that you've done, Joy, the mm-hmm. different discussions. That's all there at wisconsinvote.org.
Yep, and in fact, I know on wisconsinvote.org there's also a link to myvote.wi.gov. That's the Government Accountability Board's website that has sample ballots and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we have that a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, too.
One of the things that public radio considers a part of its purpose is to build good citizens. And so we encourage you to take advantage, if you haven't already, of all the resources that we've made available.
Well, it's been a very exciting campaign for president and everything else for that matter. But I have to admit, I'm looking forward to voting day and having those robocalls stop. How about you, Mike?
the robocalls. And I've heard people say, please, no hanging chads.
Yeah, that too.
That I think almost universally universally, except for the gluttons for punishment. Everybody wants the election to be over, whatever the results are, to be over after Tuesday night.
Yeah. I did read, and I didn't realize this, but at least the candidates who know a thing or two about Wisconsin, like the candidates running for U.S. Senate, put a hold on robocalls during the Packers games. I didn't know that. They specifically do not want to make any Packers fans mad by calling them during the Packer game. So there was a respite, if you were paying attention.
Just 3 hours, yes.
Anyway, so one thing to be thankful for. And there's lots of stuff to be thankful for. We got a lot of stuff. We had a pledge drive last month, and many reasons to be thankful.
Oh, yes. It was really successful in terms of dollars, which is the so-called bottom line. We raised $980,000 in pledges, and that was from 9,000 pledgers, so individuals and families, and 2,100 new memberships, and just terrific to have new people as well as the ongoing support people in there. And if you hadn't heard it during the pledge drive, you certainly heard in the last few weeks our emphasis upon sustaining memberships. And the reason that we're doing that is that while there are many reasons, and it actually improves the bottom line for WPR by having ongoing support. And I think of it this way. When I'm a member of you name it, and I get the notice that my membership is up, I don't necessarily remember when I last pledged, and so sometimes there's a lag time. So you think of it as an annual membership, but maybe you don't get to it until the 13th or the 14th or the 15th month, and that's 3 months of income that's not available to that charity or that nonprofit. And so it really does literally help the station. Just even with that effectively your pledge goes on and on. So that helps. And then it also does reduce costs for mailings and things like that. And so that's why we're emphasizing it so strongly this year.
Well, good. And we do have another one-day end-of-the-year drive coming up,
well,
isn't
not
it?
Not even a day.
It's 4 hours.
4 hours, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're still working on it, but most of the plans are in place. December 4th, just 4 hours, and it's kind of the end-of-the-year kick, if you will, and we think it'll be a lot of fun because we're going to squeeze that entire pledge drive into this 4 hours.
And speaking of pledge drives, the woman who was in charge of our pledge drives, Jennifer Dargan, has taken on a new role, I think, this month.
Yeah, that's right. So she's actually moving teams. She's on the Ideas Network team starting this month. And everybody who's worked with her knows that she brings incredible organizational skills. She's also very creative. And you work with them every day. You know, the Ideas Network folks are just amazing people, curious and challenging and all those things that I think you all will enjoy working together.
Yes, Jennifer's wonderful, and she will be the new Ideas Network Assistant Director. So she'll have a lot to say in terms of the talk shows, among other things, that you hear on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Crane. He is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is one of our regular Mondays with Mike. This is the November edition of Mondays with Mike. Usually it's the first Monday of every month that Mike joins us to talk about things that are going on at Wisconsin Public Radio. And we welcome your questions and your input at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, Mike, I meant to also mention when we said that Jennifer Dargan was named the new Ideas Network Assistant Director, that Cynthia Schuster was in that role, and she, I'm very happy to report, decided that she wanted to come back to full-time producing of my show. Mm-hmm. So Cynthia Schuster did a wonderful job in that role for the past couple of years, and now she will be producing full-time. By the end of the year, she'll be producing full-time for the Joy Cardine Show. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward
terrific,
to that,
yeah,
too. Let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving specials. We do have, it is the month of Thanksgiving, obviously, and we do have some special programming coming up.
We do, and of course some of it is tradition, because we have the Splendid Table Turkey Confidential with Lynn Rosetto Casper. That'll be at 10 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day. Just a lot of fun and good advice for what to do when things like happened to my mom when she was a young married person happened. They had a frozen turkey, and my mom didn't know about the two-day thaw or whatever it is. And
so you did not have turkey that year.
they did not, no. They just kept cooking it and cooking it and cooking it and cooking it. So Lynn Rosetto Casper will have some good advice there. And also, this is new, preceding that at 9 o'clock, we have a special from America's Test Kitchen. That's Chris Kimball. Many of you have seen him on public television, and also lots of good cooking advice right at that point where a lot of us may be in the kitchen preparing the mid-afternoon turkey dinner. And then this is another tradition. From 3 to 5 o'clock, we have the Third Coast International Audio Festival, and this is some of the most remarkable, interesting, sometimes challenging audio that earned plaudits, I guess you could say, earned honors at the Third Coast, meaning Lake Michigan and,
right,
and the inner coast of the United States, audio festival that took place not long ago in Chicago.
Looking forward to that. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is Mondays with Mike, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, I'm Joy Cardine, and this is Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane, our director, Wisconsin Public Radio's director, is here sharing some news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and answering your questions. And that was indeed Sarah Nix, the new announcer for What Do You Know? She replaces the late, great Jim Packard. Who is Sarah, Mike?
Sarah is, actually, she came to us as part of the insanely smart crowd on To the Best of Our Knowledge. She's had a really interesting career. It included broadcasting from Europe and from Africa, and we're just really lucky to have her here. And now she's the new announcer for What Do You Know? And you can hear right there, she had just a really friendly manner, and she's got this sense of humor that seems to connect very nicely with Michael's, and we're really excited to have her on board the show.
Yeah, welcome to Sarah for that show. Sarah was doing work for to the best of our knowledge, wasn't she?
And still will,
and
yes.
She still will,
yeah,
yes.
Because announcing for the weekend show is not a full-time job. Like you'll remember when Jim was with us, he also worked on the Larry Mueller Show.
That's right. Speaking of To the Best of Our Knowledge, talk about the new series on consciousness.
Yeah, you know, these guys, they come up with amazing things. This is called Meet Your Mind, and it's a user's guide to the science of consciousness. It's a six-hour radio series that is being distributed not only here in Wisconsin, but many people know that To the Best of Our Knowledge is a national show that is given to stations all around the country. Usually they pay to purchase the program, but each year they've been producing a special that's given away to everyone, basically as a way of encouraging other stations to pick the show up. And so this is special in that it's a six-part special that they can pick up. And there are additional things. There's a comic book about consciousness that you can read online, you can download it to your computer, all of that sort of thing. And also we've got, for people that have a print handicap, whether they can't see or can't read for some reason, using visuals, they can actually use a screen reader to read the text version of that, and that link is there as well. And so doing comic books, that's all new for us.
Yeah.
And so we had a lot of help. Some of you will remember the Kickstarter campaign that we ran to raise money for doing the comic book. That was successful, raised all the money that was needed. And so you can find all of that right now at ttbook.org, T-T-B-O-O-K, that's To the Best of Our Knowledge, .org, ttbook.org. And it's should be really fascinating, and questions come up like, you know, how do you know, what is consciousness? How do we know that we know? Those kinds of things. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And now it started this weekend on air on Wisconsin Public Radio, and will run on To the Best of Our Knowledge
for the next few weeks.
For the next, five, if it's a six hour radio series. So
yep.
Good. That'll be great. Now we have a number of callers, so let's go to the phones. You can join us too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine with the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike Crane, who would love to answer your questions or respond to your feedback. Linda in Prairie du Sac is with us. Hi, Linda.
Good morning.
Morning.
I appreciate that NPR has had on a whole range of views from different people over time. I think that's really helpful. But I couldn't help but notice during the last debate when Katie Crowley intervened between the back and forth and provided some clarity, she got a huge round of applause. And I feel like this norm of balanced reporting in an age when both parties are so good at spin leaves the public confused unless the public has actually been at the event or has direct knowledge of what's happened. So I'm wondering, I realize you have balanced reporting for a reason, but I know that the BBC uses a journalistic norm of impartiality and or weight of evidence so that they have a more active media interpreting or translating for the public. And if you would consider moving towards that.
And just an FYI, you'd mentioned Katie Crowley. I believe it's CNN's Candy Crowley.
Sorry.
So I was intervening there and correcting.
Thank you.
Linda, I really appreciate the comment. I would say that some of those same values, I wrote those down for discussion in our team about impartiality and the weight of evidence. I'd say that that is a part of our ethos, that one of the reasons, at least in public radio, and I'd say public television is this way too, really tries to reflect not simply an either-or view, but that there are many views, is precisely that sense. That probably a difference in the reporting, and I think I've observed this too, is that the American style of reporting tends not to push quite as hard. Like, I'll hear, say, Robert Siegel on All Things Considered will push a guest pretty far, but if you listen to the BBC overnight, you'll hear them push much harder with guests in terms of trying to press them for answers. And so it does result in a different kind of a feel to it. So those are really great words. I appreciate your adding that suggestion.
Yes, Linda. Thank you so much. Jim in Sheboygan is with us now. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. Actually, I got a quick comment, which I didn't mention to the screener, and then a question. The quick comment is, I know you guys really push listener-supported, and you just had your fundraising drive, and you thank your listener-supported partners continuously, which I think is great, but I never really heard much of a thanks to the taxpayer who actually puts most of the bill through your budget or
Jim, hold on that. Actually, most of the bill isn't right. But you're absolutely right. It's something I remember saying probably the last time I was here, that we do thank every taxpayer. The facts are that for the federal contribution, you've contributed about $1.35 this year for public radio through your taxes. And I don't know the figure off the top of my head for state, but just to have a sense of how it works out, overall, for public broadcasting, about 10% of the funding comes from the federal government, and it's about 9% of the WPR budget. And then in terms of cash from the state, it's about 20 to 25% in any given year of the Wisconsin Public Radio budget. So
there's also the benefit of low subsidized bonding, which you guys use, and subsidized rent and staff from the UW system, but I don't want to get into those numbers, but it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. The point I really want to make is if Act 10 is overturned as it's currently being tied up by a local county judge in Madison, what financial effect does it have, positive or negative, in the numbers on your budget?
That's a really interesting question that I'd say I don't know a full answer to. In my experience, what happens with such things is that it takes a long time to kind of figure that out. I'd say that the biggest effect on our budget about that may or may not actually be related to Act 10 is that it's been several years since there's been what they call here at the university pay plan, that there haven't been across the board raises. And in a typical year, if there were a 2% pay plan, that impacts WPR's budget in the realm of $70,000-$80,000. So, you know, if there were a pay plan, that would affect us. The other thing that's still shifting is it depends on what parts of Act 10 might be invalidated before you'd know, because there are things having to do with benefits and whether they're collectively bargained and so on. Sorry, I don't have a more nuanced answer than that. It's something we're following, too, of course.
Thank you very much, Jim. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is Mondays with Mike. Once a month, Mike stops in with news from Wisconsin Public Radio, and he asks for your input, too. Do you have any questions or any feedback? Maybe since it's the day before Election Day, you can vote for the type of radio programming that you support. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's talk about technology a little bit, Mike. We have a new updated iPhone and iPad apps.
Yeah, this is something that we're really struck by, that people are sort of starting to use mobile phones for internet and therefore for streaming, listening online, very rapidly. You know, I did a little speaking engagement where probably the average age of the guests was 70. You know, there were a few younger and a few older. And they were talking with me about how they use their computers and their iPhones and everything just like everybody else. So certainly that the age gap is going away. The other thing that is striking is that a lot of people, particularly people of color and people with less money, they get their internet from mobile phones. They don't even own a computer other than that mobile phone. And so we know that as we're trying to continue to reach new audiences, we've got to be there in what has become the internet. And so there's updates to the iPhone and iPad apps that people can download. And last time we were talking about, you know, what's the story with the Android app? Well, it's up. So if you have an Android phone or an Android tablet, you can go to Google Play and get your Android version of the WPR app. And so you can listen to all three of our audio streams, the Ideas Network, News and Classical, and the 24/7 Classical channel. That's on the app. And you can also look at the latest news from our news department. You can listen to archived programs very easily, even more easily than on our website. And that's pretty easy there. And all those features are available on those apps.
Oh, good. I've been waiting for the Android app because that's what I have. So
yep.
I'm going to have to I go to Google Play.
Yep.
Okay, we'll do. Sounds good. Let's see what other listeners have in mind. Eugene and Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
I have two comments. The second one, I didn't run by your screener. But is there anything in the works to replace Click and Clack since they... a lot of those are repeats, and the second one is, have you ever thought about doing a show on motorcycle maintenance with all the machines they have out there and all different types of machines? And people, there's a lot of women riding motorcycles now.
Yeah. So take the first part first. At the moment, there's no plan to replace it because the way that they actually have produced the show for many, many years is that they pre-record it, so it's actually what you'd call a call-out program, and they've got hundreds and hundreds of calls they haven't played on the radio before. And even though the guys have retired, they are going to continue to offer that, and not unlike old-time radio, which is very popular on the Ideas Network, we think that this will probably remain popular, and they probably are in the realm of irreplaceable. We'll have that at least for the time being. Everybody says, you know, at some point the cars are going to sound ridiculously old. Imagine in 2020, if that's still going on,
yeah.
the 1992 Honda
Dodge
Civic
Dart.
Or Dodge Dart's going to sound pretty crazy, but we'll see. You know, I think listeners, you'll let us know when it's gotten tired, won't you? And so we'll keep an eye on that. As for a motorcycle show, you know, I think the essential thing that makes Click and Clack so wonderful isn't the car advice, although they're good
right.
at that. It's that they're funny and they're also into relationships and so on. Don't know if we could identify someone that's got motorcycles down in that way, but might be a good guest for an occasional show to try
sure.
it out.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. We'll keep that in mind, Eugene. Yeah. Thanks very much. From our listener log. A comment. I would like to see the web pages of WPR.org used better. It would be nice to be able to tap into the page of a particular program and see who's on in real time. Information about their book, for example, or how to get tickets to an event. Links to other websites with more information, possibly a live chat. I would like to see you utilize WPR.org much, much more than Facebook because I do not want to be forced to become a Facebook user.
Yeah. Two things. One, you can use the Facebook page without being forced to sign up for Facebook. So no fears there. But I do understand that instinct. And I'd say one of the reasons that we use Facebook as much as we do is that our current website is hard to use and Facebook is not. And so we do tend to default that way just because you can do it like that. And you know, like you say, have in real time a sense of who's on. We are finally at a point where we've kind of made a turn. We had a meeting just last week. We called it a launch meeting where we're setting our eyes very hard at relaunching WPR.org. And one of the challenges there is that it's actually, although it has its problems, it can be hard to find things, and there were comments about that from listeners too. It's very powerful. There's a lot of things that we're maintaining and keeping up to date and so on. And so what you have to do is you have to say, okay, well, we're not going to keep updating the features. We will still make sure the listings are there and so on the old site that'll still be the current site for a while. But our goal is to get that launch done with the new site within the next 6 months or so. And I'm very excited about that. I think we have the team in place. We have the technology now, which we didn't before. So we're going to try to do that. And one of the things is that we want to have a sort of a consistent, let's call it a show page, so that the Joy Cardine show page works just like the Kathleen Dunn show page, works just like Larry Mueller's show, and so on, so that you can go there and see the updates. I think we'll still use Facebook, though, because it's just, kind of like it's the public square. That's where an awful lot of people are, and they spend a lot of time there. And so it is an advantage for us to be there, even if we have an updated website.
Right, right. And we certainly do try to link websites and pertinent information on our program notes on our website as well as on Facebook, but there's more discussions and such going on.
Well,
on Facebook.
And it isn't, let's be honest, right
yeah.
now it's not that easy to update
right.
the web page.
Right.
It is easy to update Facebook. So that's part of the change in technology is to have it easier for the staff to update.
And we should have a redesigned, newfangled website in 6 months or
that's
so?
That's the plan.
Cool. That's really cool. Let's go to John in Milwaukee next. Hello, John.
Hey, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I want to say that, Wisconsin Public Radio, I mean, you guys are my first and pretty much only stop for, political information and election updates. I mean, you really do an awesome job of trying to get fair, balanced information out there. But I am a third party voter and, you guys are the only place I can really go in terms of mainstream news to get, you know, information on my candidates. I mean, you never get it from television or anywhere like that. But I would like to see a little bit more, maybe next time around, for the next election or, you know, next race for whatever, seeing a little bit more, addition of the third party into just normal news briefs. You know, every time there's a news break, we get updates on the Republican and Democratic Party, just in terms of campaign information, but I'd like to try and see a little bit more for those that are third-party voters.
Okay.
Thanks,
well,
John.
Yeah, I appreciate the suggestion. It is certainly a concern of ours to get all of the ideas out, and it's one of the reasons for many, many years that we've invited third-party candidates to be a part of the regular set of discussions that we have. And I can see where infusing that into newscasts might help. The challenge, of course, with newscasts is they're short, and you're trying to squeeze in the most relevant information, and sometimes people assume that the most relevant information is just the top two. So that speaks to expanding thinking in terms of selecting news.
Yeah, and in case you didn't know, we did invite all of the third-party candidates for president and U.S. Senate, and if they were running for a congressional office, all were invited to take part in our forums that we had on the Ideas Network on the Joy Cardine Show and during At Issue with Ben Marins. And all of the candidates that said yes are a part of the forum, and you can find those on wisconsinvote.org. That's some of the archived interviews that you can find there. It is our mission, yes, to invite all ballot status candidates for statewide or federal races. We can't do every single state legislative race because of the
But we do try to cover some of those in our regional offices
And the key ones that make a difference statewide, we try to do as well. So thank you very much, John, for that. By the way, coming up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you can join us on the Ideas Network and on the NPR News and Classical Music Network, for that matter, for a special election night coverage. NPR will begin the evening with an hour of expert political analysis hosted by Robert Siegel and Melissa Block. Then at 8 o'clock, Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter, and Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg will step in, and they will be talking about results from key races here in Wisconsin, having some candidate interviews with Wisconsin Public Radio and with Wisconsin Public Radio reporters from around the state as well. That's our election night special starting at 7 on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is another monthly installment of Mondays with Mike. If you have a question for Mike, 1-800-642-1234, or if you have some feedback of any sort, you can also email it, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock for another edition of All Things Political, previewing tomorrow's presidential election. That's coming up after 9. Talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, for the rest of this hour. And our next caller is Amy in Appleton. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Joy. I have been noticing, I have the radio on 24 hours a day, and I have noticed a big change in the last 6 months in the amount of what I would call flat-out advertising for big bucks sustainers. And, you know, to the point of the address, what they do, who does it,
I'm sorry, Amy. You're hearing announcements on Wisconsin Public Radio that include the name and address of big shots you think are contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio.
They say this program is supported by sustaining member MSB company at da 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 phone number da 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 da. This is what we do.
I understand what I think's happening. They're actually two different announcements, but they're running adjacent to each other, and I understand why that might be confusing.
Sometimes there's two or three in a row, and the other night I heard one where there was three of those commercials, and then I think her name was Joy Newman, and that cracked me up, you know, that
I know that there's a couple of things going on there. We sometimes have day sponsorships where a name is mentioned, but now we are also having announcements that say so-and-so, John Smith, is a sustaining member.
Well, and on occasion, someone may wish that to be their day sponsor membership, yes. But there's a few things going on. One, as I mentioned earlier, we are really trying to encourage the sustaining memberships, but that's not about big bucks. That can be $5 a month, certainly. But the other thing is that in trying to design how our announcements go together. Right now, some of those are running right next to a message that will say support also comes from a business, and it will name the business location and that sort of thing. So I think, Amy, that's what you're hearing together. Separately, you may be hearing, because sometimes on some of our stations there will be these day sponsors that will mention an individual who's supporting. The one that I think of that goes way, way back in All Things Considered in Morning Edition history is Jennifer and Ted Stanley. You know, they were big bucks givers, may still be, to National Public Radio, so you'd hear their individual name. Does that help make any sense of things, that there are those two things going on?
If there's two things going on, then I don't know if that can be delineated in any way, but I mean, I never used to be able to go in the kitchen to make a sandwich and come back and the radio station wasn't on, you know, the program wasn't on yet.
Mm. Well, we haven't changed we haven't changed the length of the breaks either, so that's interesting.
She's perceiving that she's hearing more underwriting announcements. I'm just going to say underwriting in general because
that's the corporate support. Yeah,
the corporate support.
And we've been more successful lately in securing that, so it's possible you're hearing more. It's not that we're doing anything different other than as part of the mix of support, we've actually, in the last year or two, gotten better at it. We hired a new team, and so that may be what you're hearing. And business support is a substantial portion of what we do, another 10 or 15% in a given year. So I think that's the basic idea.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Amy. Let's see what Jeff in Winneconnie has on his mind. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. In the year 2000, when the Iraq War started, Mike Simonson, your reporter, said that there was...
Jeff, because I don't know what you're about to say, and I'm not sure the truthfulness of what you're going to say, and that's not what you said you were going to say, I'm jumping in.
Okay.
Maybe what you were going to say is perfectly fine, but the fact that you told our screener something totally different, send us an email. Let's go to Marge in Duluth. Hi, Marge.
Hi. I basically want to compliment you. I live in Minnesota. I have total allegiance to Wisconsin Public Radio. I find it relevant in terms of everyday life. I find it relevant in terms of political discussions. I do have one suggestion in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of many people who watch politics closely, the Ryan Romney campaign is based on misinformation and distortions, and it drives me crazy when sound bites are aired and then it isn't corrected. And I think the latest Jeep fiasco where they absolutely lied.
Yeah, let me jump in because we don't want to get into a lot of campaigning on this day before Election Day. However, what about fact-checking and that sort of thing?
Well, I think that at least, Marge, in the instance of that there have been a number of stories and talks that have been coming out about what the facts are on that particular event. And we are very interested in discovering whatever the true facts are. It's one of the reasons that we've put out the WisconsinVote.org site is to try to make sure we collect all of that coverage. And I think probably, their PolitiFact is one of the things that we link to at times and so on to try to make sure that the claims on any side of the issues are addressed. But I think to speak directly to your concern, it can be very difficult to tie the fact-checking to the time when the news is released. It all goes so fast that fact-checking tends to occur over the course of, say, 24, 48 hours, whereas the new commercial is run and it becomes part of the news. And so that is a challenge.
Yeah, and it is a challenge. And I'm not, sometimes a particular statement is made at a rally or something mm-hmm. like that, it does tend to get repeated over and over again. But we try to do our best. Especially,
And one of the reasons I really enjoy your Friday segment with, looking at the news from both sides, I'm blanking on the name of it.
The Week in Review.
Thank you.
Yes,
the Week
yes.
in Review. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be hard to remember, right? But the Week in Review is that there's an opportunity for guests on the major party sides usually to sort of debunk each other. And
exactly. In fact, that specific issue that March brought up came up in last week's Week in Review, mm-hmm. that there were claims being made that were fact-checked as being false and you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, we try to do that every week during the Week in Review as well. Marge, thank you very much for the call.
I also heard a fascinating story about this on, I think it was on the media. Certainly I heard it on Wisconsin Public Radio as I was driving. I remember being near Baraboo, as a matter of fact, and they were talking about how one of the things that the campaigns now do to test their messaging is they'll put up multiple versions of messages on YouTube and other places online, and they'll try to figure out what resonates best, and they will basically have a very rapid testing ground for their messages, far faster than it's possible to do the fact-checking on the various things. And so maybe not surprising, with $1 billion of advertising, the campaigns are pretty far ahead of the ability to check the latest message. And so we work hard at it and do our best to share what's actually going on.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and still a few more minutes left in our conversation this morning. If you have a question for Mike about what you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, or if you have some feedback, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. And let's take another call. We have Chris in Shorewood next. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I wasn't sure if I was going to get on or not. I called in early in the show, but I have a comment. But since then, I also have a question. I need to know more about Meet Your Mind. How do we know? Having suffered 3 concussions in less than 2 years, I really want to know more about how my mind works. But my comment is, I, like the woman who called before, get annoyed at sponsor calls and advertising, but you have, as of late, I have heard announcements, whether it's for a musical or something on the show, that are bright and sprightly, and I have a lift in my spirit every time I hear her voice. And I finally realized who it is because she read on Chapter a Day. I think Cynthia Woodland.
That's Cynthia. She's got a beautiful
wonderful
voice.
Don't ever let her stop doing this new job. She is a bright spot on those announcements.
She'll love to have heard that comment, Chris. Thanks so much. Yeah, we love Cynthia. And another of the bright voices that we've heard more of lately is Michelle Good, who her day job, so to speak, is mainly working on What Do You Know? But she's one of those 9XM players that we talk about once in a while as well. Very, very nice to hear those nice comments.
And Michelle and Cynthia will continue to do Chapter a Day readings and other announcements?
On occasion, and certainly Cynthia is a regular on the various announcements you hear, and once in a while Michelle as well.
Thank you very much, Chris. And as for Meet Your Mind, we'll certainly continue to do more individual talk shows on those types of issues. I'm not sure there is a weekly show along those
lines.
Well,
there's the TT Book Series, which you can also listen to those online if you don't want to wait for everything to be on the radio. And it's the website is ttbook.org, and it's right there kind of center of the page. Says Meet Your Mind, our series on consciousness, and you can click on that and find all of it.
And Chris, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Sometimes the wait is longer than we would like. But we are moving now to Michael in Whitefish Bay. Hello, Michael.
Good morning. I'd like to know if you're ever planning to feature the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor. It's only a 5-minute feature. One of the best things on public radio. Right now I have to tune in Blue Lake Public Radio from Holland, Michigan to get it every morning at 9 o'clock. I have to stop what I'm listening to and tune over there. I've talked to Bonnie Burma, the host over there, and she says it's not very expensive, and it's one of their most popular features over the last 22 years that they've had it.
Yeah, it is actually on our other network, but it doesn't come in well at Whitefish Bay, unfortunately. It's on at 1 o'clock on the News and Classical Network. Excuse me. Since you can find it on the radio, it probably doesn't help to advise you to find it online, although we do have that. And in fact, you can also, if you want to just gorge on it, you can look up writersalmanac.org, I think it is. You could certainly search it with Yahoo or Google or something and find it. But a five-minute thing like that in the midst of our talk shows, I'm not sure that we'd choose to do that on the Ideas Network.
Yeah, and it is on the NPR News and Classical Music and available in some other spots. Michael, thank you for bringing it up, though. I think it's
a good feature.
Obviously,
yeah,
it's
I agree.
A popular feature. Let me see.
It reminds me, I don't always like to, it's I remember when I was a kid watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, he'd always sort of pretend that the other networks didn't exist. And I'm tempted that way to say, oh, if there's some station in Michigan, don't listen to that. But if you're finding what you want, that's really good. And there was a question we had from the listener logs, said that I live in Polk County. Is there a way I can hear All Things Considered? So what that tells me is they're not having any luck finding All Things Considered on Wisconsin Public Radio. The signals are in Polk County, you're kind of in between a bunch of signals, and so it can be a challenge. And the recommendation I have in that area would be to try to tune either to Minnesota Public Radio's WGRH 88.5 or to the wonderful Wisconsin station, which is WOJB 88.9 FM. The challenge is that the signals of both of those are a little weaker in much of Polk County than you might like, so you have to work hard to find those. So give a try at 88.9 FM WOJB or 88.5 FM WGRH to find All Things Considered.
All right. Let's take another call from Manish in Jackson County. Good morning.
Good morning, Joyce. It's good to be on your show. Just wanted to give you a feedback a little bit. I think in today's polarized media, I think Wisconsin Public Radio does a phenomenal job on giving the right information. You know, I travel a lot, and my radio stations in my car literally are set from Chicago to Minneapolis, everything on NPR or Wisconsin or Minnesota Public Radio, and I catch your show almost every week. You guys do a phenomenal job. I just wanted to thank you so much for being out there.
Well, that's very kind of you, Manish. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And, can we speed the clock to the end of the show?
It'd
be great to end right there. Thank you, Manish.
Well, you know what? I think this might be a really nice place to end it. Very briefly, Jennifer in Richland Center, you wanted to talk about why you're a sustaining member.
Yes. I am almost 70. I live strictly on Social Security, so I don't have a lot of money, but I forgot in the past more than once to send my money in. Now I don't have to worry about that, and I only donate $10 a month, which isn't a lot. It's a lot for me, but I just simply want to say thank you for everything you do, and when I said I was going to be a sustaining member, they made me feel like I was giving $1,000. So I suggest everybody do this because it's so important. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. That you can't see it, but I'll tell you, there's a big smile on my face.
Oh, boy, there's a little bit of a tear in my eye even. That's wonderful. Jennifer, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody for all your great calls today and other comments.
The input's great. We really value it. Thank you, everybody.
Yep, and you don't have to wait for a Mondays with Mike to give us feedback or to ask a question. Go to WPR.org, and you can see various spots there for listener feedback or listener questions. You can always call our listener or audience services center, 1-800-747-7444. We'll get you there. You can also send us regular mail at 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Mike, will you be back the first Monday or so in December?
That is my current plan.
All right, good. Mike Crane, thank you. Director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.